Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 20th of August, recording at 9:40 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asian stock markets, mixed, maybe a few more slightly to the downside than the upside. In the European stock markets, we had some mixed activity, but then they mostly settled a little bit lower. All under 1%, save the Spanish IBEX and the Italian MIB, which had had such big run-ups last week. They closed down 1.25% to 1%. The percentage gains elsewhere in Europe were much smaller. In the Americas, Wall Street closed just about dead flat. And again, another quiet day. Similarly for Canada, Mexico, Brazil, a tiny gain, just over 0.25%. In long-dated government bond prices, we had some modest rallies early in the day, but they faded and turned to very small losses for gilts and bunds, with the U.S. Rally being pared back somewhat. In currencies, the dollar lost a small rise. It's currently at 104.48 against the Australian. It was stronger against the euro. If I can just, well, actually it lost that as well. It's at 123.44, so the euro is slightly firmer, and sterling's 157.05. Now, precious metals. This was interesting. We had some profit taking in the morning, particularly in silver and platinum. Platinum dipped down to 1461. That was down $11 or $12 before rallying up to a high of 1498.60, right up near two previous highs, in other words, and then settling not far off that at 1492 in after hours trading as I speak. Now, gold had a more modest move overall, but is currently at 1620, nearly 1621, and that's up just under $5. Silver had the best performance here today, currently up 74 cents at 28.83. Palladium up a little bit as well. Industrial metals were mostly firmer. Now, the grains and beans, they were quite strong here. Soybeans getting the big move, up nearly 38 cents to 1683.5. Elsewhere, a little steadier action in some of the agricultural commodities, including sugar, coffee, I think cocoa. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, it's been a terrific run for stock markets since the early June period. It started as a ranging recovery, producing a sequence of higher reaction lows. Then the recovery picked up steam this month and has become a bit overextended in the short term as a consequence. In Wall Street terms, it had also rallied back to the year's highs, where some psychological resistance can be anticipated. And people are fairly nervous about it, judging by the media. Now, you can treat that as a warning sign or a contrary indicator, because a lot of investors remember all the sell in May and go away talk. Well, if you sold at the beginning of May and then bought back in early June, you did all right. But anybody who was selling throughout May and went away missed a terrific rally, overall, one of the better rallies. And we haven't seen any real evidence that this is over, although some of the trends are sufficiently overextended, and a little bit of two-way action here today in the European markets, which had led the rally. So it would hardly be surprising if we now saw a pullback and consolidation of those gains. As a matter of fact, that's what I would expect. But is it a rally to sell into, or is it a pullback rather to sell into? Well, it's never wrong to take a profit, to coin a phrase, but I don't think there needs to be any extensive liquidation of one's portfolios. The only thing that would concern me would be if the progression of higher reaction lows that we see for all the important stock market indices except for China, which remains a serial underperformer, the China A shares. But for everything else, if the progression of higher reaction lows was broken, that would indicate that the rally had, since early June, had lost its most important consistency characteristic and was moving into a more of a ranging corrective phase overall. Now, elsewhere, government bonds, and this is important because bond prices have been weak, yields have been strong, and therefore the bond prices have fallen back towards their 200-day moving averages, which are still rising, and they've also fallen back to the top upper side of a previous trading range, which is a potential support area. And you see the inverse mirror image of that activity for the yield charts overall. So this is a level where if bonds still have any real life in them, where we should see bond prices start to firm, yields start to come off somewhat. Now, conversely, if we get something of a dead cat bounce in here by bond prices, and then they start to head lower, once again, that would provide further evidence, quite important evidence, that the peaks were in for bond prices. In other words, the lows were in for yields for at least the medium term and probably a good deal longer. So this is an interesting area here. My own feeling for quite some time has been that bonds were living on borrowed time, but with all the Eurozone woes and talk of deflation and deep recession, or worse, we have we did see those bond markets extend their overall bull market phase. But in my opinion, that just means that the eventual unwind will be all the more serious when it actually occurs, or will be all the more significant. And given the debt that's been run up in the West, they're either going to earn their way out of it. Well, that looks like a pretty tall order, since GDP growth has slowed down considerably, or they're going to default on the debt, or they're going to try to inflate it away. Well, you don't need too much imagination to appreciate which of those solutions, inflating it away or outright default, is more palatable. And again, countries that can print their own currency never default on their debt. Except vicariously through inflation. So I think this is a serious or an important juncture here for bond markets and a serious risk going forward. Now, precious metals may reflect some of that in their recent action. It's been led by platinum, which had been testing its lows prior to the tragic Lonmin developments in South Africa. And that provided a catalyst for a fairly sharp rally. But as I said in my copy on Friday, and in earlier audios, that the platinum market had been very depressed, fallen to its lowest level against gold in at least 25 years, and it was below the cost of production. We've been pointing that out, and therefore it was really due for a recovery. We also had an article that I published a couple of weeks ago about short selling in platinum as a way to play Eurozone weakness. Well, I thought it was bizarre at the time, and I think it's been proven bizarre here today, and no doubt a fair amount of short covering has been behind this very sharp rise. But if production doesn't pick up again and quickly in South Africa, a shortage in platinum will develop. Now, in terms of technical action overall, we've got platinum back testing two previous highs in the 1500 area. Wouldn't be surprised to see a little hesitation near this level, but if we get a resumption of this rally at any point in the next 2 or 3 weeks, as I think is quite likely, that would represent a significant breakout from the trading range of the last few months. Silver broke above some lateral resistance in here today, so that looks stronger technically. I skipped palladium, that's followed platinum higher, and gold has those ascending triangular characteristics where the lows have been rising really since May, and we have this sort of flat line of the rally highs pretty much. So all it would take from here is one good upward dynamic to cause a breakout to the upside by gold. Will it happen? Well, I think the odds of that are pretty good. This is a period of seasonal strength, and there are plenty of fundamental reasons why we should get a decent performance here by precious metals sooner rather than later. But the charts will show us, as we often say at Fuller Money. Elsewhere, currencies quiet overall. I expect more ranging, although a couple of interesting situations. I think forces within Japan, political and banking forces, although not so much the BOJ governor. That's been an old battle, but the BOJ governor has been isolated in recent months with new appointments that were not of his choice, but the government has replaced some of the monetary hardliners with people who would prefer a more aggressive push for GDP growth, which Japan's exporters have been calling for. And as they succeed, it's not a matter, in my opinion, of will they succeed, but as they succeed, we should see a weaker yen, which I maintain is considerably overvalued. And the euro, well, there is a fundamental case for seeing a weaker euro over the medium to longer term. But, of course, it has been heavily shorted, as you know, and that creates the potential for these periodic technical rallies, such as we've seen recently. Now, the grain and bean complex, this remains a real worry. We've seen this huge advance coinciding with a very serious U.S. drought, and these prices have subsequently ranged, but remain at the moment very firm within those ranges overall. Food price inflation is coming. It's just a matter of time, and this is likely to cause some hardship in some of the less developed countries around the world, I fear. Now, the other concern of mine is the price of crude oil, particularly Brent crude. I think this is largely speculation or hedging against the possibility of a military strike by Israel against Iran's nuclear facilities. Now, that pushed Brent crude up over the $115 level last week. It has pulled back a little bit. It's currently at 113.58 as I speak. That's just down a fraction in here today. But if Brent crude stays at this level, let alone moves higher, that will cause problems for the global economy. Let's hope it backs off. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you, and I hope you have some of those precious metals.